Lord Almighty. Okay. Well, we're all here, so I'll take this opportunity to introduce our incredible guest, who I'm so excited to drop in with. So we have Venus here with us, who is a manifestation muse, a movement mentor, and a sacred ceremonialist, and the creatrix of Sacred Sensual, which is a series of large-scale underground play parties based out of Denver, Colorado. Super amped to dive in more about that. And she's also a master facilitator with over 10,000 hours of experience. And I can speak from personal experience after just co-facilitating with her at Hedone. She is a queen and she holds space so beautifully. And it's her mission to create sacred spaces where communities heal through sensual play and embodied
Thank
self-expression.
you.
So welcome,
So happy to be here.
Venus.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah, I think I just want to if I've missed anything and you feel called to elaborate on anything I've shared, I want to open up the space for you, and then I'd love to just dive in with some intuitive questions that are probably coming through both of our
Yeah.
channels.
I don't think you missed anything. That was my little bio that I wrote for Hedone and pretty much covers what I've been doing for the last 2 decades and what I'm doing now, and super happy to be present and answer any questions that you have, and like I said, see where the conversation flows.
Sexy. Okay, yeah, I want to just dive in and just ask how you got involved with play parties and what your journey was with beginning to curate and birth your own play parties, because I'm just those stories are always
Right.
so interesting.
So, I always wonder where to start. It's like in the recent past or in the far past. Sometimes I think I'll go all the way back. My first kiss was actually in the woods. I was like 8 years old, and my five best friends were men, and we decided that we were all going to have our first kiss. So my first kiss was five men in a row.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
You start the play party kiss.
And my next first kiss was when I was like 15 and I threw a party. And I think I made out with everyone there, including all my friends' boyfriends. Fast forward to in college, I was really into the rave scene and the type of connection and sensuality that came from that experience. The rave scene was really a powerful portal for me to move through for probably over a decade. And then I kind of took a break from that whole scene. I was focusing mostly on yoga and meditation and spirituality. And through the festival scene, started getting more into like workshops and what it's like to hold space for lots of people going through a transformational experience. I was doing opening ceremonies for festivals that were 10,000 people, and what can happen when we create these unified fields of consciousness. And so that was a really big part of my journey. But really, the play party thing happened when I was in a relationship for 4 years, and there was just something missing for me. And we've been throwing parties and doing medicine work and having amazing dance experiences, but there was really something missing for in my experience of receiving my partner during those years. So I basically decided to invest $60,000 in my first couple big play parties, and call in all the best facilitators that I knew because I wanted him to learn. And so I thought started throwing play parties as kind of a backwards way of educating my partner at the time.
Wow. I
Right?
mean, whatever gets you there, right? It's so So what was your play party
Well, the first,
like?
go ahead.
And Oh yeah, I was just gonna say, like it sounds like you were the play party energy was always kind of circulating and orbiting your feet for quite some time. But was there a specific moment where you were like, oh, I'm gonna throw play parties, like this is part of my dharmic path? Or was it just kind of something you just kind of
No,
like
it was definitely
organically fell
like the
into?
first play party that I went to. I got invited as a facilitator because I had done some tantric events and blindfolded tantric dances and lots of opening ceremonies and was familiar with the spaces. But the first play party that I went to basically went from like 0 to 60 in from the opening ceremony to everybody's having sex. And I was like, I would do this really differently. Because I love sensuality and I love actual play. Like I think when you call a sex party a play party, but there's not the play, that we're kind of missing the point. And so as I do when there's something that I'm interested in and it doesn't quite land the way I want it to, I just keep going and keep trying and diving deeper and started going to other play party experiences. I went to an ISTA experience, and the whole time there, I was just like, I would do this really differently. And so after having all of these experiences that really left something missing for me, I was like, okay, what would I do differently? And I decided that I wanted to throw a play party for my 40th birthday, and that I wanted it to be really bougie, really nice, amazing food, insane fabrics, the softest carpets, all of the incense, like the sexiest DJs. I wanted to have a range of experiences where you could be in a space where your workshop is, where you're just quite literally talking about polyamory, and it's really heady. That's like the white temple. Or maybe there's an experience where you're learning how to do impact play or more sensual experiences. It's very experiential. And then there's also the red temple where it is a sex party, right? And that's available to people. And I had the perfect venue in Denver and just decided to go for it. And so I started throwing these parties for my 40th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah. What did
Well,
Oh,
yeah, you keep
Alfina, take it
mentioning the
away.
word sensory and you're the sensory queen. And for those people who are watching that might not really understand, like, what is sensory play? What does that entail? What does that feel like? What does that look like at maybe an event that you would throw?
Yeah, so when it's sensory, for me, it's all of the senses. It's really easy to get stuck with like, well, stuck on the experience of touch, right? The feathers and the flowers and the floggers and the hair pulling and the biting. But that's all touch based. There's also the sensory play with the tastes. You know, I love all of the weird fruits that you can eat that like change the way everything tastes for the next 20 minutes, or the sprays from Mexico that make your whole mouth tingle. The amazing catered food, the chocolate fountain, the fruit fairies passing out fruit at sunrise. Then there's the smells. You know, I've been collecting different tree resins from all around the world, all these indigenous cultures. And even before I started throwing these parties, people were always like, just at the parties I would go to, they're like, what is happening? Where is the smoke coming from? What is that smell? And I love incorporating, you know, some of these tree resins actually simulate a spiritual experience in the brain. They've been shown on MRIs to actually simulate a spiritual experience. So bringing in the sense of touch and taste and smell. And one of the other things that I almost think of as like the sixth sense is, well, of course there's the sound, the music, but is the energetics, right? There's this experience of tantra and playing with energetics and having energetic sex that I think 90% of the people have no idea about, but that's actually my favorite place to play. So when we talk about the senses, it's the five senses, but then also that sixth sense of the energetics and how we can play with that with each other.
Yeah, beautiful. I can speak from experience receiving a rose blessing from you. That Bulgarian rose is like takes you to another dimension and just like, yeah, these small little things that seem small that really make all of the difference when we're in a setting like this. And in order to like for me to feel sexy and want to be naked and want to be exploratory, like I need to be warm, I need to feel cozy. I want there to be good music. Like good music is so important, good food is so important, and that just adds to all the pleasure that we're able to receive in a more like tangible way when we're touching and making that contact, that more physical contact. And one more thing I just want to ask you about, you just were mentioning this idea of, oh no, it just like slipped my mind for a moment. Oh no. Okay, it will come back to me. It's
Okay, it's
fine.
gonna come back.
I'll mention it when I think of it. What were you gonna say?
I think what was coming through is like the feminine essence wants to create safety in these, and it almost I have like a play party being comparable to like a giving birth. You know, it's like, what do you want to eat? What do you want the temperature to be? Do you want a blanket? What kind of food do you want to eat? Like, how do you want to like birth this baby into the world? And when you were speaking into these things, I just kept having this vision of like this woman giving birth in the most beautiful way and like having her needs met, right? So I hear that you have really tapped into that divine mother archetype and creating a space that feels really like safe and cozy for people to ultimately surrender and feel really free to explore their deeper way. And yeah, I just think
Yeah,
that's
that's
hot
remembered.
and beautiful.
What I've gotten from these parties is people are like, well, I've been to so many sex positive spaces and kink parties and play parties. But they're like, but I've never been to one that felt so feminine. And that's why I branded it as sacred sensual, because the sexual is there, but the sensual is what's holding space for it to go there if we want it to.
Yeah, foreplay to me. It's like being able to play. The inner child's been coming through so much for all of us, the collective, and sensuality and intimacy really feel like the container that holds what can ultimately occur in like a physical experience. And yeah, it's just beautiful. They all co-create and weave together. And yeah, I'm really
Yeah,
excited to
thank
attend one of your
you.
parties.
Also, I'm really curious to hear your explanation, and I'm sure a lot of the people watching this, when you talk about an energetic orgasm, I feel like that's such an interesting thing to go into. So will you elaborate on what that is more?
Interestingly enough, when my past partner and I attended ISTA together, there was only one portion of the program that we missed, and it was actually the energetic part. And I remember just like crying and being like, this was the whole point. Like, how is this the one thing we missed? And so it's something that I had some experience with prior to that moment, but the most experience that I had was actually when I was living on the Big Island of Hawaii for the past 6 months before I came here to Germany. And we had an amazing group of friends that were very polysensual, really into contact improv. We were playing a lot with like floor dancing, and it just started to evolve. You know, when you really start to move that Shakti through your body, it starts to take on a life of its own, especially when you can surrender. And I ended up in these situations with different people, where we were having sex with our clothes on. And it was mind-blowing for me the first few times that I could quite literally like feel someone inside of me. And when I talk about an energetic orgasm, like it's an actual orgasm. Like for me, it feels the same, maybe even better, in some ways. And then I've also had the fun, like, flip side of that, playing with some of my girlfriends, where even fully clothed, like giving them that energy and like imagining what it's like for me to energetically penetrate someone and what it's like for them to receive me in that way. And then the response that I get from women receiving that energy for me. And it's been really fun to play with this. The energetic sex and the energetic orgasms, both with men and with women. And it's to the point where, like, if that's not happening, even if I'm having physical sex, if the energetic isn't there, I'm just bored, because that's actually the juice for me. That's the tantra. That's the play that I'm most interested in at this point in my life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, ooh,
Okay.
getting hot in here.
Energetic orgasm, right?
Yeah, and it feels a
Excellent.
lot safer sometimes too. Like there, I was hearing that there's like
It
10
does.
different ways to orgasm or something.
More than that, totally. I believe we can orgasm any piece of our body, mind, and spirit if we focus on
Right.
and an energy around it. Focusing on someone touching your finger for a really long
Right.
time, have a finger
I love
orgasm.
mouthgasms
And having,
personally.
yeah, throat women were like had a lingam like in their mouth, you know, like of just a continuous, like really deep connection, focus, and attention on what
It
that
is
feels
that
like for
focused
them.
attention and that dominant attention that's like almost something else that we could go into that I'm also super interested in. But I want to tell a story really quick about the energetic orgasm. One of my favorite experiences at Hedone was actually with a man, and I was fully clothed. He just put his hand, I was kind of like on my belly, he put his hand like on my booty, kind of yoni energy, was just like energetically holding me, and I could feel the heat of his hand. It was really powerful heat experience. And then when he pulled his hand away, I like gasped at the absence of the energy. And then it's like he was gonna spank me super hard, but he just boom, and then like stopped right before he touched me. And I like had an orgasm. Like it was an energetic spanking. And it totally was one of my favorite experiences that I had there. And another story that I like to tell that like helps people understand is at Burning Man one time, I was definitely on psychedelics, but I was like walking mostly naked at sunset, pushing my bike, watching the sunset. And I remember just feeling the heat of the sun like penetrating me. And there was this moment when the last ray of the sun went behind the mountain, and it was like and I had an energetic orgasm from that. So it's not even just with another person with the act of miming sex, which is quite lovely, but there's so many different ways that you can play in those realms.
Yeah, like eco-sexuality or eco-sensuality, like getting turned on by nature. I love that. Like humping the trees, that ecstatic dance, just grinding up, like stroking a rose petal on your yoni, on your body. It's, yeah. Thank you for bringing that into the conversation, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, let life love you, right? Like how I pleasure and attention into like everything we do and make everything sacred. Like if you really tap into it, we can tap it. We pleasure is our birthright and we can tap into it at any time.
Oh, yeah.
Mango. And like love to the mango, you know? It's just
Oh, yeah.
so it's so beautiful.
Maybe at my next party,
Yeah.
we'll do, if it's at the castle, we'll do one of the central fruit healing experiences, which is super sexy and fun.
Will you tell us about that? What does that
I'm there.
entail?
So I've been to a few of them, and I've facilitated a few of them, and they're all quite different. But really, it's bringing in whatever fruit is ripe in the moment, creating an altar, guiding people into a meditation, getting really present with ourselves, with each other, with the fruit. You know, one of the things for opening ceremony at these play parties and the workshops, that's one of the most important things for me, is teaching people how to clear their field and to get current, and how to set a unified field of consciousness for the space. And it really, what these parties and these workshops are about is is clearing, setting, and then letting this be a portal for whatever it is that wants to come through. Some of these fruit healings are us feeding each other and feeding ourselves and engaging with the textures and the smells and the tastes. And sometimes it gets really sensual and we're like rubbing fruit on ourselves and on each other. I've actually had one where we never even cut the fruit. It was just holding it. And I had like a miraculous healing of some belly pain that had been with me for years with just like holding this cantaloupe, you know? And it's that's the energetic exchange that's available with each other, but also with all these other parts of the natural world.
Wow, I love this so much, and like your zoomed out vision of like what of how to curate these spaces is just so beautiful, because you piece together all of these beautiful things and they like cohesively create this really miraculous experience. And I think I want to dive a little bit more into shadow, and just I'm wondering from your experience and probably attending many different types of play parties, like what you think is maybe missing collectively from the play party space, and like what you're in bringing awareness to those
Yeah, I think
spaces.
that what has been missing for me is, I mean, it kind of goes back to what I said before. Like, what was really missing for me was the good music, the fabulous fabrics, the really safe spaces. But then once all of that is taken care of, like once your bases are covered of safety and comfort, then it's like, okay, where is the spirituality part of it? And how do we teach people emotional regulation tools to help them move through what is inevitably going to come up? And then there's also this other aspect of art, you know? I love, like, some of my favorite parties are where I brought in like live yoni sculptors and nude sketch artists and like letting it be art. It's not just a place to go and have sex and connect. It's like, how can it be like the art of fully living within our bodies? It's a feast for the soul.
Yes.
And I think that probably answers your question, but I'm curious, was the question geared more towards like some of the shadow sides of things, or did that answer your question?
I think answered it in a way. I wasn't quite specific in the question, like what was like what I would like to know is if you've attended a party that like didn't feel good to you today.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah, I think that I have been to some parties that were, you know, they did an okay job of having like separate spaces if you wanted to engage sexually or if you wanted to be more in cuddle spaces, but they were like so separate that basically like your only choice is like, okay, I'm here, I'm just cuddling and talking, or I'm gonna go downstairs and it's like hardcore sexual experience. And I think there was like something about the continuum was missing for me of having lots of different spaces. And also it was like at that party it was like we did opening ceremony was lovely and then half the party was like, okay, we're going to the basement and they were just like gone. And I think they already had their own connections that they were nurturing, but like I love being able to take time nurturing connections. The parties that I throw start at 4 p.m. and go through 11 a.m. And so the workshops start at 4 p.m. and it's just building and it's taking the time to build these connections and figure out like, okay, there's this sexy shibari workshop happening at 5 a.m. Like maybe who would I want to invite to that? And really allowing the time for people to connect before they connect. You know, it's like jumping right into the full-blown experience is fine for some people. It feels very masculine to me. I really like taking my time, even if it is only a one-night event.
Yeah, I'm hearing the importance of spaciousness, being like a variety of spaces that aren't necessarily like, I mean, they're defined, but they're loosely defined, so everyone can can feel like they have a space to play. It's not like I'm black, I'm white, I'm night, I'm day. I can kind of plug in different things. That makes sense. And yeah, I felt like that was well done at Donay. Like there was a lot of kind of like fluid movement and different things to attend, and like there was defined spaces, but people used other for different things. It felt really good to me.
Yeah, that was nice. And they also did something similar. It was really cool going to that event because it had been in my awareness. People are like, oh, you guys throw really similar events. I was like, oh, okay, I want to check that out. But they did have like the workshops in the days leading up to the temple night so that you could build those connections.
I'm curious, like the overall, like obviously it's like a fun place to explore the senses and connect and potentially even have sex and all these things. But I guess like maybe speaking on a like a deeper, more spiritual, more psychological level, like what would you say are the long-term and short-term like positive effects of going to a play party or of going to a sensory experience like the ones that you host that maybe you have experienced yourself and also like have gotten feedback from others who have gone to your parties?
Yeah, I mean, people who have come to my parties are literally like, I've been to parties like this, but I've never been to one that was so focused on trauma healing, which almost made me laugh because that was not written anywhere. That was not like the public intention, but they could feel that. They could feel that it was healing their trauma. You know, I've had veterans come to these parties, like not really knowing what they're getting themselves into. And like, I don't think they were fully in the Red Temple at the 5 a.m., 150 person group orgasm, but like just being in such an open space with so many open hearted people, like really, they said that it was like so healing for them. And as someone who has had a lot of trauma, that's something that I really love to talk about with sensuality specifically is, you know, over the years I've really enjoyed like really intense sports and really intense sex and really intense massages. And it's like I remember being maybe 8 years old and hiding in the closet from my dad, and he was gonna come after me or something. He was gonna yell, and I remember thinking, oh, he can't hurt me because I like this. And like when you talk about a kink, like I remember the moment that my kink came into play. And then from then on, it was like really like intensity and even like almost like an addiction to intensity. And I remember asking this question. I do a lot of things where I ask a question of spirit. I said, why do I like it so intense? Like, why do I need such intense massage, like elbows and pushing? And I was like, the answer that I got is that my soul was actually hiding in my nervous system. It was like hiding inside my nervous system, and then it required like a lot of pressure to even touch me. And then when I started playing with the lighter sensory experiences, I mean, one of my favorite things is just to be like breathed on or to have someone make sound on my skin and like these lighter sensory experiences. At first, I couldn't really feel them, but then over not very much time, just like one session even, I felt like my soul had to come to the edges of my skin to meet that touch. And when you talk about like coming out of your shell or blossoming open, that's quite literally what I was experiencing.
Oof, that's such an analogy. Just full body chills and resonance with that. And I too had similar, like intense upbringing, and have always really liked intense experiences and felt numb initially. Like when I was connecting with people in a really soft way, I'm like, no, I need a harder massage. Like, I want you to go harder when you're inside of me, like all of it. And yeah, I think as my soul has felt safe, like that's the word that keeps coming through, it's felt safe to emerge. I began to experience levels of pleasure and joy in these like much softer
I think one of
environments.
the other things I'd like to touch on in terms of like benefits of going into these spaces is I do think anytime we gather with intention and we do the energetic work to set the space of like a cohesive, unified field of consciousness, we have the opportunity to jump timelines. And we have the opportunity to create this like soup of people and then trust that spirit is going to arrange them in whatever way is most beneficial. And I've seen this in my play parties and other people's play parties and even the Ista container, where it's like nothing short of miraculous that the exact two people that connect, it's like the girl connecting with the man that kind of reminds her of her uncle that she had the trauma with, and then there's the healing there. Or for me, it's like connecting with someone that reminds me of like a past lover, and there's the healing there. And that when we create these spaces, the long-term effects, the short-term effects, and the long-term effects are that we create a space and then put enough people in it, it's inevitable that the healing is going to happen.
Yeah, this is so beautifully spoken because I think a lot of people get caught up in just like the immediate gratification of going to these parties, but it's so much deeper than that. And I know even our Hedonia experience for all of us was so deeply nourishing and healing. And something that I'm noticing in all of our experiences is this. Almost like it brings you back to like a lot of childhood experiences and this whole month's topic of play parties. We'd never realized when we started this topic that it was really about like going back to our childhood, like being in that play and that innocence, but also in that time when we're in that play and innocence, and in that openness, there's room for trauma and, you know, and hard things to come through that have been living in our subconscious, have been living in our cells, have been playing in the background. And so it's like by being in that innocence and going into this portal of like childlike play, it inevitably is also a space to heal the traumas that have happened to us when we were children, which is just so interesting. And it's like we heal that trauma through that exploration and play just in a different way. So it's kind of full circle, like, and it's like the opposite of what you would think. You're like, what? Like a play party to heal my childhood trauma? But it seems so connected.
Well, and it like can apply to so many different things. I mean, I actually have worked with children. It's like interesting how I spent 28 years working with children, and a lot of overlap in my event production years, and now I'm more focused on these play parties. But like I'm holding a love for both working with children and having sexy play parties for adults. Like these are two of my biggest callings of my whole life, and they almost seem like they wouldn't fit together, but they do. And children are naturally so erotic. Like I remember like watching over nap time with the children, and they're just kind of moving and playing and touching themselves. And it's not like to climax, you know, that's not the point at all. I don't think I ever witnessed that. But how many times were these kids shut down? Think that's not okay. You know, I had my own trauma of like getting in trouble for like being naked with one of my female friends growing up, and how healing it is to just be naked with my female friends now, and how much healing can happen. And then at Hedone, I had another healing experience that I feel called to share was, you know, I've always liked spanking as like, you know, in the moment and having sex, and it's like a fun little like sensory like push, a little powerful, add some power to the experience. But at Hedonia, I actually was in ended up in like an actual spanking session, and we didn't really talk about it. This is where I think that creating this portal and trusting whatever is coming through is so important, because it ended up being like just almost like an exact reenactment of what would happen to me when I was a child, but without the anger, where it was like he kind of like pulled me on his lap and was like spanking me in the same way that my mom would have spanked me, and even like took it to that edge of pain. It wasn't even about like a sexual experience at this point. I truly believe that the divine will move through whatever person is closest to me and open to acting on behalf of the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And that I am open, the divine can move mm-hmm. through me to act on behalf of the divine for someone else who needs to receive. Mm-hmm. And they don't necessarily need to receive through me, but I am close and I am open. And so therefore I'm in service. And yeah, just being in that spanking session that was not sexual was super healing for me in so many ways.
I love that you're bringing this up because wow. It's all just like clicking into place. It's like these play parties are essentially like a cosmic playground for us to relive our childhood, but do it in a way that's liberated without the shame, without the punishment, without the guilt, without the fear, in a totally like safe place to actually like do everything we wanted to do when we were children. And especially for those of us that grew up like myself in an extremely like strict, you know, religious family where there was so much story and judgment and fear and all sorts of things that really shut down my erotic expression from how it really wanted to express itself. And that's why it's like going to these spaces can be so deeply triggering into those wounds that started from that long ago into our existence. Mm-hmm. And it's all just like making sense now. It's like, of course, we're recreating our childhood experience to do it differently and rewire our brain and have these new neural pathways be formed so that we can go into our sexual and sensual expression in an embodied, healthy way now.
Mm-hmm.
That's so
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
So cool.
For touching, I feel very moved by has gone on, and there's an experience that I have that's coming up that feels relevant to share. And I'm connecting like sensually with this man at Hedone and dancing and playing, and it's often how like my deeper intimate sexual connections begin is like in the space of like childlike play, like hee hee, jump around and skip and laugh and like bite each other's necks. And he spanked me, and immediately it felt non-consensual, and I was like, hey, it wasn't consensual. In that moment, just dream, and in that moment, I just see his little boy child, and I could see his mother shaming him. I could see his father shaming him for doing something wrong, and I pulled him aside, and I just felt so called to hold him, and he was like crying in my arms. I was like, honey, you didn't do anything wrong. Like, we're here to learn. You know, we learn in hindsight. Like, we gather information from every experience that we go through, and we have to go through it in order to learn something through it. And it was such a tender space, and it was such an unexpected space where I was, I get it now. Like, I understand why these types of experiences exist to powerfully allow to like relive these childhood experiences through a new light where they're safe, where we can ultimately read narratives. And that's just so cool.
Wow.
It's so cool.
Yeah. And how we can hold space for others to also go through their own experiences and healing as well. And take on not just the child role, but like the mother role or the father role. And that was coming through for all of us at Hedone, was the divine mother archetype too. And so that's also interesting, like being the mother and being the child simultaneously.
Yeah. And just playing with all the ways that we can express, you know, there was some connections that I felt were very mutual. There were some connections where I felt I was just there to receive. And then there were some connections that I felt that I was just there to hold and to give love to this person, and allowing myself to play in those different roles. It's what keeps things fresh, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so are you in the process of curating another party?
Yeah.
Like, what's happening?
Yeah, you read my mind. That's what I was going to ask too.
But when I'm back in Colorado, I will often connect with an amazing woman that I've thrown parties with there before. And we have some small scale events that are happening there. I think she's still doing them even when I travel. So if anybody is in Colorado and interested, you can reach out to me and I can make sure you're connected whether I'm there or not. And then right now I've been talking about, actually going back to the same venue, the castle in Germany, for my birthday, which in the springtime I love to throw this party called the Garden of Earthly Delights, and it's, insane amount of flowers, but only flowers that have a really strong scent, and the food and the sensuality. And so, God willing, it will be next May in Germany at the castle. It would be the next sacred sensual event. But I also love holding like women's spaces. This is something that's been really powerful for me, is sensual spaces for women that are maybe not a sex party, but they're still a play party. And how can we go on to these retreat spaces, these healing spaces? The nude photo shoots that were mentioned are a big part of that. So there'll probably be a couple of those in the winter before the big one in the spring as well.
Oh, good. Amazing. Thank you for sharing, and I can't wait to see like what continues to unfold in your play world. We were just talking actually before this call. We were the three of us were on a call, another call, because we just and there's an Adonai experience in Miami in December that Venus and I were talking about supporting and getting involved with. Stay tuned. We'll share information about that as it unfolds. And hopefully Elfina can join maybe if it's in the highest. Not attached, but it would be amazing. And yeah, I felt so much personal healing. Just, I mean, being with you three and feeling really held, like in the space of our friendship was like, it felt like a safe container for me to really expand too. Like, I believe going to like a play party, if you do feel called and you haven't, like going with a buddy or friends to hold space for you. Like, if something emotional comes up, you're feeling overwhelmed and you need someone to drop in with and talk to, is like a really supportive tool. And I found so much healing there that I just desire to like create my own play parties, to attend more play parties, and to just be really involved in the world. So yeah, please keep up to date with like your happenings, and we'll share them with the community.
And I
And
do want to say it's
yeah.
not if something comes up, it's when. Because that is just the
When.
nature of these containers. I liked something that one of my friends said in Colorado, because there was like this big question of like, when there's like a breakup and there's kind of the splitting of the community and who's coming and who's invited and who's not. And she was just like, everyone is always invited. And if you end up spending the whole time crying in the closet, then that's perfect. And that is what you were there for, And I was just like, yes, like these are the cauldrons that we get to trust. And so yeah, going with a buddy is great, and I'm glad that we were able to be there for each other in so many ways through our experience just a couple weeks ago.
Wow. Wow. I also just want to mention that Eat a Mango joined, and we were talking about eating a mango before. I just want to give a shout out to you. You weren't here for the conversation, but we were discussing eating mangoes and sensual fruit parties before. So it's cool that you hopped on.
The sensual fruit healing, fruit eating is a big part of the healing that we can experience through connecting sensually with ourselves and with nature. Yeah, it's beautiful.
And we have like exactly, I totally agree. We have about like 10 minutes before we're gonna wrap. And one more something that feels really important to bring up is this concept of like of safety and how we can cultivate it in spaces, especially if we're new. Like we've experienced, we've dabbled, we've been involved in the community in different ways, so we have our own tools. Few things that you share for people that are maybe interested in joining but feeling a little apprehensive, that can allow them to soften and like feel safe going into a sensory, potentially like sexual and physical, play play.
I think that the only safety that's ever really available to us comes from within ourselves. And so I spent a lot of time talking about safety and feeling really unsafe in certain spaces and with certain people and even my past partner. And it took me a long time to realize that The unsafety that I felt was because I actually didn't trust my own yeses and my own noes. And I've had a lot of a handful of traumatic experiences where I said no and then ended up in a situation, even just moments later, where I overrode my own no. And I actually outsourced my safety when I took the victim role and said that, oh, this person pushed past my boundary, or yeah. And it took me a long time to get there, and it feels really edgy when I talk about it. But really, 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 really claiming that I really did have the choice to say no again. I had the choice to get up and leave. And that the reason I didn't feel safe is because I didn't trust myself to stick with my no's and my yeses. And it's taken me a lot of work to get there. And so if you're thinking about going into a play party and you don't trust your own yeses or no's, I would do that work ahead of time and do it with even just saying, I'm not going to eat ice cream tonight, but watching all your friends eat ice cream or something like that. Like, is there a way that you can really practice? If you really want to get good at safety, if you really want to feel safe, you get to practice within yourself, holding your own boundaries and feeling safe in that. Once you do that, you can be in any environment and you will feel safe. And I think that's a unique perspective that not very many people talk about. They want the facilitators to create the safety, and they want everyone to ask every single time before they touch your knee and touch your hair and touch your face and, like, all of this, like, verbal consent. And it gets kind of exhausting. I really love at my play parties teaching nonverbal consent and teaching attunement. And I think that that's the next level of this collective consciousness that's been growing, is really, really, really teaching attunement to people. And so when I do my play parties, I have people like feel into their like, fuck yes energy, and then into their like, yeah, sure, okay, let's give it a try, and then into their like, fuck no energy, and into their like, no, thanks, and like really feeling the nuances in those different realms, I think is really helpful. I've had people give me feedback. Like, they were like, do you know how many times I was getting attention from a man that I wasn't actually that interested in? But because of that practice, I realized that it wasn't a fuck no, but it wasn't a fuck yes. And they're like, I just left and found my fuck yes 10 minutes later, And so playing with yourself, even not in a play party experience, what is your fuck yes? What is your fuck no? What's your like ambiguous? And then really, yeah, really just owning and being self-responsible is the only way that you're gonna feel safe. It's not the facilitator, it's not the container, it's not the practices, it's not the puja, it's you.
That's a great way to end this conversation because that's something that people can take with them in any aspect of their life, in any avenue of their life, that the safety really is within, is sourced from within.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing so much wisdom, Venus.
Venus codes on codes. Yeah. The like more structured safety devices have been supportive for me. Just as I continue to create more like energetic security within myself and I feel that softening. And something Alfina and I were talking about, like the difference between like verbal consent and consent. And I think those are tools that are embedded in that we're ultimately unearthing and getting more comfortable with and processes. But like true safety ultimately resides within. And that's such an incredible message to share with our viewers. I would love to open up the space. We still have a few more minutes. If there are any questions in the audience or any perspective to be shared, I would love to invite anyone to just write a comment in or a question. This is your opportunity to do it. And if not, we'll wrap
And I
and
wanted
see
to
you at the next
ask
play
too for the
party.
viewers who are interested in coming to your parties, do you have like a mailing list? What's the easiest way for them to get in contact with
The
you?
easiest way would just be to find my Instagram, Venus_codes, because I do usually put out a flyer and let people know when the next party's going to be. And from there, I sometimes will send out emails, but I find Instagram or Facebook, you can find me on both of those, are going to be the easiest ways to find out, and then you can get added to the email list when the time. Yeah, if anybody has any
Incredible.
Questions, I'm definitely open to answering any questions or diving deeper into any of these themes that we talked about.
And I love this idea of having like feminine play parties, because I feel like they're, first of all, like the sensory pleasures are just so feminine, like you were saying. And I feel like there's so many women, myself included, who are really curious to like play with women more. Like women are beautiful, right? And like, I wouldn't necessarily say I like want to have super sexual experiences with women, but I'm like very attracted and want to have a lot of sensory, some sexual experiences. And so like having a designated container, like specifically for women to just feel safe, where they're not feeling like a man's gonna come poach and wanna be in on it, but it's just for women to soften. And like, and even in these spaces too, where I might want to like have an experience with a woman, but I feel more comfortable with a man. So then I end up just having an experience with a man, and I don't have that experience with a woman that I might really actually want to have. It seems so beautiful to like have an intentional space for that. And even in the future, having a space for men to just explore men and having that to be like their own containers as well. And then maybe even doing a portion where it's like the men and the men, the woman and the woman, and then also a convergence at some point.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. You and I have gotten the same blueprint for what I was calling archetypal embodiment retreats. Mm-hmm. We even got the Instagram for that, but I haven't done anything with it. Where it is this women not connecting with women and doing the work, the men, and then coming together, but with a shared language, because they've mm-hmm. already been integrating these together. And you know, I think that connecting with same sex people is a great way to learn like, what do I really like, and to be able to offer feedback about the way that I'm touched or spanked or flogged or whatever, but without so much fear of like hurting a man's feelings, you know, to like mm-hmm. be able to explore and really winnow down to like what is it really that I like, and what is it really that I desire, and what is it that I don't like, and to make those adjustments with my sisters. And then it's so much easier to